Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Welcome back to the Come As You Are podcast. Today I'm here with a dear friend of mine, RJ, which is so crazy that we're even, like, I guess, doing this because I literally knew you. I'm trying to think of, like, when, because I was friends with your sister.
Right.
And then y'all started coming to Cross Point, and then it was like, hold up, why is he here? And then found out that you were married and, like, all this stuff within the 4 years after you graduated and just crazy stuff. So why don't you just go ahead and introduce yourself and all of that good stuff?
Sure, absolutely. So I am RJ. We did go to school together, of course. I did graduate in 2019, so we were about, I think, 3 or 4 years apart through high school and from being a freshman and things of that nature. Yes, I did. I got married in 2023. So, this year marked 2 years of being married. So we did go to a Assembly of God church in Pottsville where, my wife served on the worship team there and we were on the staff as far as doing media and live stream there as well. But God called us to Conway and to plant here and, really just prayed for the Lord's direction to where to go and led us to Cross Point and been going there ever since. And I can remember I was speaking to Pastor Paul this morning about that. And it was a Wednesday night in 2024 that I said, hey, Brooke, we need to go to Cross Point Church and try it out, see if we like it and see what. And ever since then, the Lord said, that's where you need to be. And we've been going there for over a year now. And it's just been a great thing ever since. And I'm very blessed to be a part of that church for sure.
No, absolutely. That's what I'm so glad that y'all are a part of it, too. And that, like, I don't know. I just love the way that Brooke leads worship. Absolutely. And I think that you were very gifted in, like, I guess, like, the media stuff. Like, you really know what you're doing in all of those aspects, and I think the Lord has given you those gifts and stuff, and so it's just been really cool to watch both of y'all grow in ministry at Cross Point, because I mean, obviously I didn't know what it looked like in Pottsville, but that just, it just makes me so happy because I love y'all both, and it's just such a blessing to watch y'all grow together in ministry, which actually is what you really want to talk about today, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And to your point, yeah, it just, it's great how God uses you in different aspects of your life. And because, like, when she was on the worship team there, it was her mom and dad that were the worship pastors. And then she played the drums for them, but she also sang when she was the youth before that. And so it just comes to God uses you in different aspects and uses you in different assignments of life. And same thing with me. I'll speak on that a little bit, but I won't take too much time in that. But I did a little bit of live stream and stuff there and continue to, you know, make shift at different things of that nature as well. But never gave too much thought of it. But then we started going to Cross Point. Pastor Paul would always ask me, hey, have you preached before? Have you done this? And I really just kind of brushed it off and didn't really give much thought about it. And I always kind of felt maybe something was there, but I never wanted to be self-proclaimed or just to walk in something that was in the flesh and not
That's so valid. And like the fact that you said that made me think, because like the first time that I was like really felt the call to preach, I grew up Baptist and they don't really believe in like women preaching, which like nothing against anybody that's Baptist or anything like that, but that just was what I grew up as. And so whenever I got called to preach, I was like, Lord, are you sure this is you? Because in my mind, I'm like, I don't want to be self-proclaimed like you said. I don't want to be like, yeah, I'm a preacher and like all these things. And so I fought with it for like a couple months. And then finally I went up to Pastor and I was like, look, I was like, I don't know what it looks like. Don't know what it's supposed to look like or anything like that. But I feel like the Lord has called me to preach. And he was so gracious in that whole process and like let me preach and like all of these things. And so I get what you're saying of it being like you don't want to seem like you're self-proclaimed or like that you're not walking in what the Lord has for you. But in reality,
yeah,
he wants us to preach the gospel.
Yeah, he does. And it doesn't. And to that point, like I just really prayed about it. And last summer, the Lord really dealt with me in that. And just I was home alone, actually. No one else was around. No one was talking to me about it. And he just said, this is what I want you to do. And I still questioned it to some degree. I said, I really want to know, Lord. I want you to show me that you're for real. And it was that Sunday morning, there was an interpretation of somebody given that if you have been called, that's what you need to do. And it just was line upon line of what I was looking for. Yeah. And the Lord just really gave me that confirmation. And just ever since then, he's provided a way for me to go to ministry school for free. Don't have to pay for anything and able to have Pastor Paul as a mentor. So just all these different aspects, like I couldn't do it without the Lord. And I'm really appreciative that I've been presented that assignment from God to do that for sure.
The way that you said that of like thankful that the Lord gave you this assignment, and that like made me think of like the times that I thought of it as something that I do, that it's not something that the Lord has like placed over my life, that it was something that I was supposed to just carry out on my own. And so whenever you said that, it made me think that it's so easy to get caught up in yourself whenever you are like a preacher or like singing or anything like that. It's so easy to get caught up in yourself that you forget that the main goal and the main focus is to be on fire and a light for Jesus. And so, I don't know. I just liked that point that you had, that it's something that the Lord has assigned you to do, and you're thankful that you get the opportunity to do it, and that it's just completely and solely His.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we can talk about that some more if you would like, and just however you want to go about doing it.
I'm down for whatever. You got your notes.
Yeah.
This is your podcast episode, so you get to do whatever you want. So take it away, RJ.
Okay, so let's just continue what we've been talking about, and just it kind of was a line upon line with what we really were going to talk about. And it's just the aspect of ministry, and the Lord dealt with me. It's not, we can say ministries, but it is just one ministry at the end of the day.
I like the way that you said that, because also the way that I think a lot of people view it is that everybody has like this, like, for example, a really awesome like minister that I know, Noah Owensby, you know him too. He has Noah Owensby Ministry, but it's like one of those things where like it just makes my heart happy because his ministry fits in with everybody else's ministry. And so like we all come together to have one ministry, if that makes sense. Don't know if I'm really speaking clearly, but like, and like in the Bible, it talks about how he like gives different giftings and gives different talents and all of these things to everybody in like different assignments, but they all fit together under one head, and that head being Jesus. And so regardless of what ministry title we have or we don't have, we're all working together in one ministry.
Right, exactly. And we're all given an assignment or assignments by God. However, the assignment can change throughout our walk with Christ, because as our relationship develops with Christ, our assignment may change. We may be in a season of this assignment here, and then we may be in a different season and a different assignment, or it may all be connected together, and you just build the ministry on top of another building block, just however the Lord wants to do it. But we have to understand that it's always changing. It's always fluid, and things can be taken away just as easily as they're given on that aspect as well.
Yeah. If you make a title your main goal in ministry, then you're not going to allow yourself to be open to what the Lord like truly wants to do in your life, because you're so focused on that title. And so, like you said, I think it's so important to be open to whatever the Lord wants to do in your life,
right,
if that makes sense.
Right, absolutely. And like, that's why the scripture just really stood out to me that I really like to say. And it's Jeremiah 1:7. It says, do not say I am youth, for you shall go all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. So it just speaks to our obedience that we ought to, when he sends us and he commands us, that we should speak. So he speaks first to us, and then we follow in after that. And our youth should not discourage us, whether it's being the first time saved for a person, or if it's somebody that's been in the faith for a long time, that no matter really where you're walking or how young you are, or even to a point how old you are, you're commissioned to do that, and we should go wherever the Lord sends us and speak of his goodness and what we're called to do, which is to spread the gospel and to be the mission for the commission of Christ.
No, absolutely. And that's the thing, like, whatever we are called to do and whatever assignment that the Lord gives us, it should all point to Christ. And if it doesn't, then more than likely it's of your flesh, because there's no way that the Lord would give you an assignment that doesn't point people to him. And so that, I like the way that you put that, of like not even letting like your youth, or whether you've done it a million times or whether you've done it maybe just once or not at all, like, don't let that discourage you, because the Lord literally will equip you, because he doesn't call us to do things that we're not able to do. And I mean that in like, we may not be able to do it in our own abilities, but the Lord will always give you the ability needed to carry out the thing that he's called you to do. And that sounded so wordy, but I mean, I feel like that's so true, is that he will give you and equip you with the things that you need in order to carry out the mission or the assignment that he has placed over your life.
Right. And that's awesome that you said that, because that was the next scripture that, in a sense, that I was going to say and point out, was Ephesians 2 and 10. It says, for we are his workmanship. Mm-hmm. And created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Mm. So we're walking in the workmanship, in him equipping us to give us the ability to carry that out for his good works, not our good works, but for his good works and what he is going to prepare us to do.
Yeah. And that literally, that's such a good point. And I remember this scripture getting brought up in a Bible study that we did in high school, and we kind of like broke it down, and we were like, how in the world are like we supposed to carry out good works? But we have to realize that literally from our faith flows good works and good fruit, and that literally if it wasn't for Jesus,
right,
we wouldn't be able to do it.
Right, exactly. And you know, our ultimate calling, kind of going back to what you said, is to have a real tangible relationship with God. And for that relationship, though, to be consistent and to be real. When a relationship is real, there's communication on both sides. You know, just as we have a relationship with our husband or our wife or girlfriend or whatever your relationship with anything, should reflect your relationship with Christ. Because if you have a relationship with them, your relationship with Christ should exceed that. Yeah. And you should be constantly in communication with him. And the scripture says in 2 Timothy 3 and 16 through 17, says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for an instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. So again, like you were saying, we're equipped for every good work by the inspiration of God. But so how do we get that inspiration of God? Through the Bible.
Love that you said that, yeah.
Scripture.
Yeah. And that's what, like, for me personally, like, this year and like even some into last year, I have like made it a priority and to be consistent with the Lord, because for so long I kind of not necessarily put him on a back burner, because like I feel like he was my lifeline completely, but sort of got caught up in doing things in like ministry and stuff, if that makes sense. So like a lot of times my identity and all that came from what I was doing for God rather than from God himself. And so I like the way that you said that, like, you have to be consistent and you have to stay in the word and get your inspiration from the Holy Spirit, because anything else, it doesn't stand. Right. And you just have to have that lifeline, like, always on call with Jesus.
That's right.
Regardless of where you're at. And I like how you said that you need to listen. Like, it's a relationship that's both ways. It's not a one-sided relationship where we sit and do all the talking, because that's also something that I struggled with for a really long time, is I wouldn't sit and just be still in the presence of the Lord. I would just sit and I would ramble like nobody's business.
Right. Exactly. And we have to have an ear to hear the word that's given. And like Matthew 6 and 33, it's a very familiar scripture, and it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." So when we seek after him in the stillness and in the communication, that his righteousness, not our righteousness, all his things would be added unto us that he wants for our life, not what we may want for our life, because it's his will. It's, you know, thy will be done. And it's not our will. And I just think that really speaks of that when we seek after that, it opens us up to, like you said, how God really wants to use us.
Yeah. If you literally wholeheartedly seek first the kingdom, then all of your desires and all of the things that you thought that you might have wanted and all of the things that you desired formerly, they all begin to come in alignment with, like, what the Lord wants for you. And that just gives you a peace that, like, is inexplainable. And I'm sure that you've probably witnessed that and, like, have experienced that for yourself.
Right, for sure. And that's a great point to make, because in Proverbs 16:18, it says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." And that just speaks to what we were already discussing, is ministry is not about the title. It's not about the position.
Yep.
If our title, if the position that we have in a church exceeds our ultimate responsibility, our calling to serve other people, to be a witness, to be a light to those people, then we miss the whole point. And it will be a road that we don't want to go on, and it will end up in destruction.
Yeah.
If we don't seek the kingdom of God first.
No, absolutely. And that's what I was actually talking to Brooke about, because I was talking to her about, like, the difference, like, the way that the Lord has worked on me just this past year, and how, like, things that used to bother me don't bother me anymore. Things that I used to be, like, just really oppressed by don't bother me anymore. Like, all of these things. And I was talking to her actually about, like, how whenever I was at Cross Point, like whenever we first started going, I struggled really bad with this desire to lead worship. Like, that was what my whole faith was based on, is I want to get up on stage. I want to lead people in worship. Like, but it was never, I don't want to say it was never, because I do think that there were times where it was like, okay, this is for the Lord. But it was hardly ever for Jesus. It was to get up on stage and sing so people would be like, oh yes, girl, right, you can sing, you know. Like, it was prideful. Like, it was very, very prideful. And I completely, like, just lusted after the fact of, like, I want to be on that stage and I want to lead worship. And I took something that the Lord had placed over my life, and a gift that the Lord had placed over my life, and I began to idolize it and chase after it and strive after it instead of striving after Jesus. Now, I had, like, that, those, like, months that I was away and missed everybody like crazy. But I do think that it was a very much needed season for growth. But I had this time away, and in that time away, the Lord began to work on me and show me truly what it means to worship and how it isn't literally anytime that you have the opportunity or are able to lead people in worship, it should always be an overflow of what happens in private. And that's what Brooke was telling me. She said, every time that you get up on stage or every time that you sing behind a mic or wherever you are, even like preaching or in children's church or singing, playing the drums, piano, like literally whatever it is that you do for the Lord should always be an overflow of what happens in your prayer closet. Right. And I was like, that's literally like what the Lord has taught me here recently is that any type of ministry that I pursue or am a part of should always stem from my quiet time with the Lord. Because otherwise, I'm doing it out of my selfish ambition.
Right. No, absolutely. And that is absolutely correct. And we have to be careful because that's where a lot of the church, sadly, to some degree, is headed. They do it for the money. They do it for the big church. They do it for the crowd. They do it for all these different things, but they miss the whole point. Because with or without it, the church is not... it's not a building. It's the embodiment of the people that are Christ-centered and together. And really, just I looked up the meaning of ministry in the dictionary, and it stated a person or thing for which something is accomplished, and or to just serve. And we have to remember, Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And
that's good.
So in that, we should empower other people to serve through our serving, not for them to, like you said, look for that. You did such a great job. All those things are great. But that what we do should be accomplished through what the Lord's given us to be that witness, to lead others to Him and to serve in our and in our church body in the right manner. To serve other people, to get them to follow in alignment, as you were saying, with God as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's what, like, I'm just so thankful that the Lord broke that off of me in the sense, because it really is tiring whenever you try and do things like worship lead and all those things out of your own ability with the prideful mindset, because it's constantly running and it's constantly comparing. It's constantly in competition with other people whenever in the kingdom there's no competition. Exactly. We're all striving after one goal, and that goal is Jesus Christ and to make His name known.
Exactly. And it says in 1 Peter 4:10, it says, as each one of you had received a gift, just as you had mentioned about the Lord giving us gift, we received the gift. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold of the grace of God. So you really look at the scripture. So you got almost 2 to 3 components. You received a gift, but you can also look at the scripture. It's better to give than receive. But in this as well, we receive, we're also giving, but we also have to be good stewards of the manifold from the grace of God. So we have to be good stewards of the gift that we receive from God and sow it into where it needs. Because for us to reap the harvest, and we want to be about the harvest, but are we good stewards of the seed that we're sowing it into? And like, you know, we could talk all day about tithing and all these different things. But tithing to me is an essential component, but it's one aspect.
No, absolutely.
But we can tithe to the church with our time, to not just, well, I'm going to cut a check to pay my tithe and offering to the church.
In order to get a blessing from God.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that we give our time to volunteer, to show up to the prayer meeting, to show up to the camp meeting, to like receive these things, to to where we're coming with an expectation, not just coming, like you said, to get something at the end of the year and check it off our box and, okay, I'm going to get a tax break on this because I contributed to a nonprofit organization, but come with an expectation to give rather than to receive, because what you're giving is going to produce and reproduce the harvest as you continue to sow into it, and you're good stewards over those things.
Absolutely. And you said something, I think it was at Bible Study Thursday, that talked about, because you talked about expectancy, how it's so easy, like whenever we go to church, to just be like one of those things that we just check off our list. But I liked how you said it. I think it was at Bible Study. I don't really know. You're like, every single time that you go to church, go expecting something. Expecting to either, like you said, give your time to volunteer and help others, or expect something. Like, if you need a breakthrough, the Lord is the God of the breakthrough. Like, expect right. it.
Exactly.
Don't walk in the church hanging your head down low, defeated. Walk in expecting something. And I just love that scripture of, like, receiving the gift and giving it.
Yeah.
And also being good stewards of it.
Absolutely.
Because I think for so many people, and I know at least for me, whenever I was younger, it was very hard for me to be a good steward of the gift that the Lord has given right. me. And that makes sense.
Absolutely.
So how would you say that you, like, steward the gift well?
I think that just, like, this whole discussion has been what you had mentioned was our prayer time. How can we grow something if we don't mature it? And
period.
And we, you know, I had to reflect on that as well. Like, it to carry that mantle to preach the gospel, I can't expect God to use me if I don't read the word, if I don't pray, if I don't be still when I need to be. And sometimes it's a continual walk in everything that we do. And I know I've been doing better that myself. It's just reading the word and making sure that I'm taking notes and when the Lord gives me something to write it down and then just feed off of that. But also to pour into other people. And that's been misconstrued. I think we pour into somebody, we pour into people, we pour into this ministry. Well, there has to be something. When we pour into something, something has to be coming out. So for something to be coming out, we have to have received something prior to giving it out.
You better talk about it.
And that only comes, it's like the vessel in the Bible. How can we push something out that's God-given if we're full of everything else of the world? If we're full of strife, full of envy, jealousy, like you said, like, I'm doing this for me, or I'm only coming here. We're full of ourselves. But if we let the Holy Spirit speak to us and fill us up, then that's what's going to come out to steward out and to reproduce the seed that was sown.
That's really good. That's really good. Because I'll testify even of that as well. Like, back at my old church, like, whenever I was in, I want to say 10th or 11th grade or so, probably 11th grade more so, I was on the worship team there. And I was living a completely different life away from church than I was at church. I was living a double life, to put it plainly. And, like, my mouth was literally awful. Like, just horrible things like that. And then, like, every week on Wednesday, I would get up there and I would sing. And it's, like, with the same mouth that was cursing and all these things was uttering blessings through a worship song. And it was exhausting, like literally so exhausting to try and live this double life. And it was like, I was so lukewarm. I was so even on the fence, like literally headed to like destruction. But then this one day a week, I'd get on the stage and I would sing. And it just goes back to being a good steward of the gift that the Lord has given you. You can't take something that the Lord has given you and literally and not point it back to Him in the way that you live. Because that's what, like I said, I was living a double life whenever in reality, it should have been on that Wednesday night, that should have been an outpouring of what was already poured into me rather than emptying rather than not having anything to give. And then I sat and wondered why there wasn't a move of God.
Right. Exactly. And that just speaks, this just this came into my mind just now when you were talking about that. You can only straddle the fence so long until you fall one way or the other. And you'll eventually fall one way or the other. You're either going to fall into what God has for you, or you're going to fall away from what God wanted and had called you and had for his will for your life. Because we sometimes don't want to deal with it, and then there's times that we do, and then we just find ourselves straddling for so long, like you said. And I think we have to be very mindful of that and to continue to walk forward in what God has for us. And this scripture was going back to just serving, and it's just Matthew 25:35-40, and it says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did you see you hungry and feed you, or thirst and give you drink? And when you did see you a stranger and take you in, naked and clothe you? Or when did you see sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Matthew 25:35-40. And that just talks again about serving and just different aspects, just, you know, being in prison. And like he said, "You gave me food, and I was thirsty, you gave me drink." And just different aspects of what we ought to give to people. And make sure that sometimes we don't fully understand, or we don't want to understand what somebody's going through. Doesn't mean to ask them what they're going through, but a simple prayer with them can change everything. Of, "I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. I'm here for you if you need anything." Mm-hmm. And I think that's just why, because it's so important to serve, because you never know. It says in the, this just came to me, but it says, "Though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil." It didn't say I'm walking in, I'm walking through it. I'm gonna make it out. But we have to serve other people when they're walking through that season of life, through hail and high water, that let's be that person, just as Jesus brought Peter out of the water and he had grabbed his hand. Let's be that extension in the arm of God to bring them up, to help them and help those in need, just as Jesus did.
I love that. That's what I like, how you said that we're not walking in, but walking through with, and again, like the expectancy that we're going to get through. We're going to get through the hard season because we know a God that can pull us out of the water. And like, I love that scripture so much. I just love it. And so.
Right. And also just, and the Lord put this in my spirit when I was getting these notes ready. And sometimes it just happens that way. And it says, when we serve, we should mirror the image of God. That when people see us serving, they don't necessarily see what we're doing to a certain degree, because obviously they're going to recognize our servantship and our servanthood, but that they see Jesus through our serving. That just as Jesus washed the feet to serve those and to help the least of these, that they don't think of us doing that as just us doing something to be doing it, but that we're coming in with an expectation that we're sowing a seed into somebody else's life and to serve and to minister to those people, whether it's in our own church community or family there or the least of these or on our job, or that we come with an expectation that the seed may not reproduce the next day, but that over time the harvest is going to come. And that's why, you know, the Lord's been dealing with me. I think those walls that Jessica has, and we have those people that are not saved, and we want to see them saved as soon as possible, because the time is short. But that don't lose and don't have doubt in them coming to the Lord. Because I believe sooner or later they will come. But sometimes it just takes us consistently praying and fasting and seeking after God for them to have a relationship with Him.
Yeah. You mentioned fasting. I kind of want to talk about that. Because I feel like as Christians, and I know for at least in my past, I didn't see fasting as like a necessity to walk through. And I've been reading a book and I've been fasting here and there and all of these things. And it's completely like changed my faith and all of these things.
So we do like everybody's usually accustomed to doing a first of the year fast. Usually, my uncle's church where I attended, before I got married, we did a 21-day fast.
Yeah.
Of food and things of that nature to give up and to obviously in that time to pray and just continuing that habit of giving those things up. But that honestly, sometimes we again use that as a New Year's resolution. Like, okay, it's time to fast this year. It's time to do this. Okay, well, what are we going to give up now? But that we should be fasting on a regular basis of some sort. Are we sacrificing time and doing other things to spend time with the Lord? Giving up those Netflix shows. And I know some people are against, you know, I'm gonna fast social media, and I, you know, we're not here to discuss what's right to fast. You know, the Lord knows your heart, and the Lord knows what you need to give up. And I think food is the number one thing, obviously, because that's
because it's like the biblical fasting is food, because obviously they didn't have social media and stuff back then.
Right. But also, you know, we need to do that. But it can simply be, you know, too much social media, too much television, and or whatever it may be to, okay, instead of watching TV tonight, you know, we're on
sacrifice
that. Have a Bible study with your family.
What would you say, like, what would your testimony just around fasting be? Because I feel like it's something that Christians need to, like, tap into more.
Right. And I would say for me, just I remember when it was 2021. Yes, it was 2021. And it was January that we did the fast, and I didn't really recall a whole lot about it, because like I said, you kind of just you get through it, and it's a very trying season because
absolutely
a lot of, you know, work and things. And the Lord just spoke to me in February about something I needed to do, and He just opened up the door for all these different things because of me being obedient, but that time of fasting for me to hear what the Lord wanted me to do during that time. And I think just allowed me, and I just think that just fasting goes with obedience, because we have to be committed to doing that.
Yeah, that's so good. I just wanted to talk about that because you mentioned fasting,
right?
And that's something, like, for the longest time, I was even talking about to Jessica last year. I was like, I have never fasted, never had a desire to fast. I don't know how to fast, all of these things. And she was like, well, go read this book. And it was a book it's called Fasting by Jensen Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
And so I read it and a little bit of it. And then, like, I picked it back up this year. And I was like, this year I do need to start, like, fasting more often.
Right.
And my first fast, I remember literally, it was only a day long, but I feel like the Lord knows your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I was new to it. So I was like, I'm just going to fast this one day and spend time seeking out the Lord. The peace that I felt, the direction I felt, the just all around nearness that I felt to the Lord was completely different than what it was whenever, like, I would just seek Him out regularly, if that makes sense.
Right.
And so I think it's just such a key point, part of our faith and, like, obedience.
Right.
Because it truly does bring us near to God.
Exactly.
And I love fasting now.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's definitely something that, like you said, we should grab a hold of to and take it more seriously at those junctures for God to use us. And I just think, like, just overall, just ministry, whether it's to serve, you know, our ministry, you know, needs to go with fasting and praying, just all these different aspects. You can't knock, you can't take out one. It's an all-inclusive package, and the Word of God is that. It is everything that we need, and so I just think we ought to take that forward in everything that we do in our Christian walk, in our life.
Love that. Well, I always ask this for everybody. You're finished with, like, your stuff, absolutely. Right? Okay. I always ask everybody that's on the podcast, what's one piece of advice that you would give to either, like, say, your younger self, or to maybe somebody, like, who may be walking in a season of, like, struggling with ministry? Like, you pick it and you run with it, like, whatever it is that you want to talk about. Like, what's that one piece of advice that you either wish that you had known when you were younger or would like to give to somebody?
I would just say, no matter what you go through, read your Bible, pray, and seek after the will of God for your life. And no matter who tells you you're not smart enough to do it, that you can't do it, it's not about what they say. It's about what the Lord wants you to do. And no matter what, do what He's commissioned and called for you to do and walk in it with boldness, not a haughty spirit, not prideful like we talked about, but that you say, this is what the Lord told me to do, and I'm going to do it.
Yeah, because there is a difference between a prideful confidence and a God confidence.
That's right.
And we are called to walk out in that God confidence, not out of our own prideful abilities.
That's right.
So, anyways, with that being said, I guess we are finished with today's episode. I've enjoyed it, like, a ton.
Yes, thank you.
Because I feel like there were a lot of really good points that you made and we were able to talk about. And so, thank you for being on.
Well, thanks for having me, and I really do appreciate it.
Absolutely. So I will see y'all 2 weeks, because now my episodes are every other week. So see y'all then.